Hey, how's it going? Welcome to the James McDonald Podcast, where we say, love to live to love. That's our focus, that's our passion, and we invite you to let God's Word have that impact in your life right now. Here's Pastor James.
Open, please, to Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Jeremiah 33:3. And just four thoughts here. Let me read to you the first three verses. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Jeremiah as we go along. But start with this. Jeremiah 33:3-1. Ready? The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the guard. Thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Here's what he said. Call to me, and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. That is one of the greatest prayer promises in all of God's Word. Now, if you want to check in on the godliness of your neighbor, just look over their shoulder and see if they have that underlined. And if they don't, just real quick, underline that for them. Just say, I'm totally judging you right now. You don't even have one of the best prayer verses in the whole Bible underlined in your Bible. And then just kind of give them a dirty look and show them how you have it underlined in your Bible. How many people have that underlined? Come on, marked in your Bible. Look around, see all the hands. It's one of the greatest prayer verses in the whole Bible. I could preach on this for a month without stopping. But let's start here. You'll see all these right in the text. Check me every week. Is this coming from the Bible? Is this coming from the Bible? Because that's what we're all about, right? We want to hear from God. We want to hear from his word. Check this first. God is calling. God is calling to you. And here we are in the, I guess, fourth week in our series on prayer. And God is calling to every person in our church. God is calling you to prayer. God is calling you to breakthrough prayer. God is calling you to take another step in prayer and go further and deeper in prayer. I've prayed in the last 20 days on my knees more than I think I've ever prayed maybe in my life before, and I'm just getting warmed up. I was asking the Lord this morning that this would be my greatest week of prayer that I've ever had, ever in my life, just ahead, right now. And you can have it too. This is an incredible invitation. Now, I have a ton of application coming your way, but this verse has context that sheds light on verse 3. As I often say, we don't just rip the Bible open and yank out a little verse. We got to know where we're at. We're in the Old Testament. We're in the second of the five major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Okay, two of them written by Jeremiah. The second one, Lamentations, we're in Jeremiah 33. The author Jeremiah lived between, I don't know, the late 600s BC, all the way, because it's counting down, all the way down to maybe the 570s or something, and some very significant things were happening in the nation of Israel at this time. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. He preached to a group of people. As far as we know, he never saw one single convert. When Jeremiah 33:3, do you see in verse 1 there? While he was still shut up in the court of the guard, the Chaldeans had come in and had sacked the city of Jerusalem, and Jeremiah was going up and down the streets of Jerusalem. We've walked them right there, and he was going up and down the streets saying, you know, y'all know why this has happened, right? The reason why the country's going to hell in a handbasket is because of the wickedness and the stubborn-heartedness of the people who should know God. We know a better way. We're not living it. And that's why all this is happening. Well, the king didn't like that at all. So he's like, put that guy in prison. So he got put in prison for his preaching. And even as our freedoms are eroding in America, many places around the world, you could get put in prison today for preaching God's word. So he's called the weeping prophet. Just listen to some of these phrases. Jeremiah 8:18. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick within me. Jeremiah 8:21. For the wound of the daughter of my people is my heart wounded, and I am mourned, and I am in dismay. It has taken hold of me. Is there no balm, B-A-L-M, which means a medication in Gilead? A reference to the Holy Land. Jeremiah 9:1. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. One more. Jeremiah 13:17. If you will not listen, my soul will weep in secret for your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly and run down with tears because the Lord's flock has been taken captive. Here was a guy who saw God's people running off after all kinds of false gods, and he wept and he pled. And he was thrown in jail for his preaching. So I got thinking, how different is that really than the day that we're living in, into which this wonderful prayer promise is given? You see, the context. Desperate times call for desperate prayers. Deep need calls for deeper growth in prayer. And if you're at church this week and you're facing something bigger or harder than you've ever faced before, I'm here to tell you that is your call to deeper prayer. If you're looking over something, you're like, I don't know how this is ever going to change. I don't know how this is ever going to get fixed. Get to a different, deeper, fuller, more faithful place in prayer and see God meet you there. We worked on this little list, moral decline, 588 BC versus 2016 AD. Let's just compare. In Jeremiah's day, widespread idolatry. This is one of the reasons why God's judgment was falling. How would you assess idolatry? False worship of false gods. I talk a lot about our primary idolatry, which is, you know, stuff, status, the American dream. But listen to this. Did you know that more religions have started in America in the last 200 years than have started around the world in all of previously recorded history? So as far as we know, just listen to some of these. Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, Unitarianism, Christian Science, Scientology, Kabbalah. I could go on and on and on with the homemade religion in America. No regard for the Word of God, no regard for the truth of God. This is what I was digging in the mountain and I found a pair of glasses. I was walking on the beach and I saw a special vision. And do you know these stories of how these things started? I was talking to one of the leaders in our church today and I said, did you know how this particular cult, everyone say cult. Did you know how this particular cult started? I said, no, I didn't even know. I said, well, and that's how it happened. He was digging in a mountain in New York and he dug up a pair of glasses and he found a book and no one could read them but him. And on and on and on, the nonsense goes. Widespread idolatry. People worshiping literally everything except the one true God, including the worship of self. As we continue to sing and pray, lead me to the end of myself. Number two, rampant immorality. Rampant immorality. I can give you a lot of examples of these things right out of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 15 says this. I'll find it and read it. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Ever think that when you see something on TV? What is wrong with these people? They don't even know how to be embarrassed anymore, it seems. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I will punish them, they shall be overthrown, says the Lord. This was in Jeremiah's day. In our day, did you know that one third of all Americans have a sexually transmitted disease as of today? 20 million new cases every single year. After the Second World War, 12% of young people said that premarital sex was appropriate. Today, on a college campus, 80% say appropriate, necessary, me. Rampant immorality, widespread idolatry. Interesting, both in Israel's day and ours, unparalleled military decline. Unparalleled. In their day, the Chaldeans had swept in and sacked the city. This is 588 BC, probably in the fall when this is being written. In 587, counting the years down to the 0 year in the birth of Christ, in 587, do you know what happened then? It's one of the biggest dates in the Old Testament, 587 BC. If you've got a study Bible, it's probably telling you right at the bottom of your page, the Babylonian captivity. And the nation of Babylon came in and took all of the captives like Daniel and his friends and took them off and took them captive to another nation. And so they were in massive decline, idolatry, immorality, military decline. How's that going in America, by the way, military decline? I saw a show this week that said only about 50% of our F-class fighter jets are even flyable today, and they don't have parts to fix them, and more pilots have been killed in crashes of late because of it, and not taking care of our veterans. I mean, it could go on and on. I'm not trying to get you depressed, but I do want to get you to reality, because listen to me right now. It's facing reality that fills my heart with the fervency to respond to this incredible invitation to pray. It's feeling the weight of what's happening on our watch that puts us on our knees calling out to God for something more, for something better, for something different. When we think about our children and our grandchildren and the generations to come and the world that's being left to them, how awesome that God would say, call to me. The next thing that Jeremiah emphasizes over and over and over is the failure of God's spokesman. The failure of God's people. Jeremiah chapter 5, a verse that I have not referred to for many years in our church, says this. Jeremiah 5:30, an appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. Jeremiah, what is it? What is it? He says, prophets prophesy falsely. People who are appointed to speak for God don't do it. They stand up with feel good and felt need and inspiration that couldn't fill a hungry heart for an hour after church. Nothing is said and nothing is heard. Jeremiah goes on. An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. Prophets prophesy falsely. Priests rule on their own authority. What I like, what seems to me, what I think will help. Not based on God's word, not foundational in any sense. Priests rule on their own authority. And the interesting conclusion to Jeremiah 5, 30 and 31. And my people love it so. Church is filled to overflowing with this nonsense. Why? Because people love it. And he concludes, but what will you do at the end of it? In other words, where's this really taking us? Nowhere good. Moral decline in Jeremiah's day and our own. Finally, total societal collapse, as I said already, 1 year later, within the next year, within 12 months. 587 BC, the destruction of Jerusalem. It used to be that America used to win every war, right? It seems like we haven't won a war since Vietnam. I'm not so much looking for the debate. I don't even remember us being very shocked that Terrorism is now a regular event on our soil. People infiltrating our society, murdering people en masse, almost without accountability in some instances. Are these things driving us to prayer? Are we praying differently than we have prayed before? Are we seeking a prayer breakthrough on these matters? The word call is a Hebrew term, Jeremiah 33:3, call to me. The term is emotional intensity. It's a summons or an appeal. It's an urgent request. It's an emphatic asking. And God emphatically is saying, call to me, summon me, entreat me, ask me. And so much silence from his people as we settle into so very much less. And then, because we're taking every word seriously, notice, call to me. How quickly we are to call others, aren't we? And we call our spouse, and we call our parents, and we call our boss, and we call our friends, and we get on the phone. I'm having the most amazing time with no phone. I'm giddy happy about not having a phone. And my family isn't as happy, and we're going to work something out about that. I do miss talking to them occasionally. But seriously, we are so deluged with availability, and we run to what is convenient and easy. And because prayer is hard, we don't go there at all. Now, when he says, call to me, that has to be in the context of who he's revealed himself to be. Look at verse 2. See, I'll read verse 2. See if you can, come on now. See if you can pick up on what he's emphasizing in verse 2. You could have made this part of the sermon. You could have, for sure. I'll read the verse. Can you figure it out? Here it comes. Thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Get it? The Lord, the Lord. Are you listening? Are you listening? The Lord did it. The Lord made it. The Lord is his name. You know, like we're not paying attention, right? Let's just all keep in mind who we're talking about here. And we have taught here many times that that word Yahweh is God's personal name, God's covenant name. It's used 6,823 times in the Bible. No, I did not count. Thank God for Google. But it's used 6,823 times in the Old Testament. And of course, we've read over these precious verses many times. What's interesting is that it frequently comes with a suffix. Remember, prefix, suffix, like the part at the beginning of the word, the part at the end of the word. And some of the beautiful suffixes in Jeremiah related to God's name. Jeremiah 31:10, Yahweh Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. Jeremiah 23:23, Yahweh Shama, the Lord who is present. He is here right now. Do you understand? He is here listening and checking my faithfulness to his word. He is here listening and checking your attentiveness and respectfulness, not to the messenger, but to the message. And the great call that goes out to pray. Yahweh Rapha, the Lord our healer, Jeremiah 3:22. Yahweh Tzikenu, the Lord our righteousness, Jeremiah 23:6. Jeremiah knew this Lord. And notice the intensity of the prayer. Call to me. Could have just been, you know, talk to me. It could have been, quote to me, say to me. Nope, nope, nope. And this is what I've been experimenting with. There's something that happens when you get fired up in prayer. Now, I just don't know what else to tell you. Honestly, I could just say that right there and send you out to do it. There's something that happens when you get by yourself and you get louder in prayer. Isaiah 49, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Psalm 116:1, I love the Lord because he heard my voice. Romans 8:15, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And I challenge you, at least one time this week, get loud in your praying. And let your heart fill up with the things that you feel most deeply about. And get where you're not the least bit concerned about anyone hearing you. And respond to Yahweh's incredible invitation to you. Call to me! And get after it. And he will not disappoint you. And you will have a breakthrough. I can't wait. Of course, the great fear in praying is that nothing will happen. And so we have these four powerful words. See if you can circle them in your Bible. They come right after call to me and. You got them? I will, come on, answer. Four words, lift up your voice. He says call, and then he promises, say it.
I will answer you.
How clear is that? That's so clear. What a promise. What a promise. Call to me, and I will answer you. You say, well, what if he doesn't? Little foundational theology to undergird that needless fear. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says that God cannot lie. Do you understand that? God can't lie. Anybody here want to assert that they can't lie and thereby lie in asserting that they can't lie? I should pull back that offer. I don't want to make you sin in church. Only God cannot lie. When it says cannot, it means, like if you said to me, if you set up a high jump here and you said, okay, it's 7 feet, we need you to jump. I cannot. It is not within these legs, never was, certainly isn't at this point. I cannot, it's not within me. And if you said to me, I need you to loan me $1 million. That's a problem. That's going to be a problem. Because this I do not have. And it does not lie within me to do that. It's like asking a man to bear a child. Yeah. It's not a matter of trying. That is not within the nature of man to do that incredibly glorious task. And it is not within God's capacity. People say, well, is there some things God can't do? Yes. God cannot lie. He cannot do it. He'd have no reason to do it. We could spend a lot of time here on all the reasons why people lie. We'll just move on and say, when God says those four powerful words, it is a fact. Call to me equals I will answer you. We spent a whole message on the reasons why sometimes that doesn't happen and the sin that blocks the hearing. But if we come to God biblically and persistently and in faith, some of the things we're still yet to talk about. Oh, he'll answer all right. He'll answer. If you'd like to jot things down, just make a little note here. How does God answer? For some of you, this will be review. For others of you, it'll be important and needed truth. God answers three ways. Yes, wait, and tell me, no. And I think when I was younger, I thought that God answered mostly no, occasionally wait, and you know, like at Christmas maybe, you know, yes. And that is, in fact, the exact opposite of what is true. Now, God answers almost always yes once he changes the prayer. Once he changes the prayer, we don't ask for dumb stuff. Once we stop asking for dumb stuff, if you ask anything according to my will, I will hear you and answer you. All those verses that were quoted, asking in his name. Asking in his name is asking consistent with what he would want. And we don't pray selfish prayers, and we don't pray good prayers for selfish reasons. And by the time God has refined the prayer and refined the prayer itself, the answer is almost always yes. But until he can get us to yes, sometimes it's not that, not that, not like that. Or sometimes it's not now, not yet. Let me put a verse up on the screen because I don't want you to run over to it, but you can mark the reference down if you want to. 1 John 5:14 says this. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, finish it, what?
He hears us.
Say it again.
He hears us.
He hears us, and he will answer us. Now, as you anticipate answers, I was thinking about answers and some of the foolish things I used to pray for in my youth. I can remember praying, this goes back a long way, but years ago in sermons, I used to tell stories about how I was so bad at fishing, I could never catch a fish, and I'm fish repellent. Do you remember that? And there's a funny story about Landon. I took him because I couldn't never, we went on trips, we did everything, I just couldn't catch fish, just couldn't do it. One little one, nothing at all. Just terrible fishermen, terrible, terrible. Who here is good at fishing? Come on. Yeah, I despise you, I gotta say. And I was so bad at it, a guy talked to me, well, maybe you need to try ice fishing. That was the worst idea ever. And I told this story years ago in church, but I'll just review for those of you who don't know. I took Landon up to Wisconsin with this guy who was a friend at the time, and they drill a hole in the ice, and they build a big tent over you, and they put a heater inside, and I'm going to go ice fishing. We sat there and looked into the hole till like our necks were going to break off. And it was so cold. Never caught a fish, never saw a fish. One time a fish swam into the hole, and I had this bait down there, and I rubbed the bait up against the fish, but he would not bite it. I mean, it was awful. And I am fish repellent, right? So I thought, but I'm here with Landon, I'm spending time with my son. So I pulled him over close to me on my lap. Well, I had this kind of poncho thing on, and my keys were in the front of it. And as I leaned toward Landon to pull him in, the pouch went open, the keys came out and went right down the hole. You know how it happens in slow motion, like. I spent the rest of the day getting the keys out of the hole with a hook, and bottom line, on the way home, all I caught was keys. But I have worked at my fishing through the years, and I have a reason for telling you this. Here's what I caught. Well, you know, what they tell you is, they tell you that if you hold the fish toward the camera, it'll look bigger. My hands are twice as big as that fish. So the fish needs to be bigger than the hands, I guess, for that to work. But let me just say that I think sometimes I've expected only that in prayer. Just a little something, just not truly shut out, just a little something. And I think about weak prayers. If you really believe, Call to me and I will answer. You'll pray loud and you'll pray long and you will believe that you have what you've asked for. And I know you want to see if I got a better fish, right? How about this? Or this. Now you're bragging. If only I had had greater faith and greater expectations earlier on. Well, as they say, there's nothing we can do about last year. All we can do is about this year, right? And I have faith to believe I'm experiencing a prayer breakthrough. I mean a prayer breakthrough. I believe I'm going to be changed forever. I'm going to pray differently. Desperate times call for desperate prayers. And I'm praying differently. And I'm praying loudly. And I'm praying longer. And I'm calling out to God. I got six specific things I'm going to. I told you at the beginning I had never prayed for the same thing for 20 days in a row. And with God's help, I'm going to pray for the same thing for 40 days in a row. And I can already see God changing things and changing my heart. And I'm challenging you to join me. Not praying some little meager prayer, but really expecting God to do the things that he promises to do and agreeing with him by faith in those things. God help us. Well, God is calling invitation. God is answering. We call that insurance. Lest we have to fear, God gives us his promise. Now this, God is showing. And this is our inspiration. Because his promise continues. I'm looking at Jeremiah 33:3 again. Call to me, and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Let's start off with those, will tell you. That word is translated different in different translations. I called this point originally, God is showing, but those who helped me with some of these message preparations helped me know that it's interesting. The ESV translates this, tell you. New American Standard translates it, tell you. NIV translates it, tell you. New King James, New English Translation actually translate it, show you. The Hebrew term here, translated in my Bible, call to me and I'll answer you and tell you. The Hebrew word actually means to conspicuously put something up in front of you. And it would involve both a showing, as some translations say, and a, can you guess? And a telling, both a showing. Let's write it that way. God is showing and telling. When we call to him, he answers us, both showing us things and telling us things. How many people can remember show and tell in school? Come on. Can you remember what you brought? I'm super curious. How many people can remember something specific they brought as a kid to show and tell at school? Hands up if you can remember something. She does? Trying to get her to come up front right now. I don't think she doesn't seem like she wants to. You're not reading that right.
Oh, I brought my dog.
Oh, you brought your dog. That's interesting. I didn't have a dog when I was a kid. You're supposed to go, oh. Wait. I didn't have a dog when I was a kid. What I did have was tonsillitis. And when I was 5 years old, I just started kindergarten, I had tonsillitis. I didn't even know what that was, but you got to have to get to the hospital. And I went to the hospital and they took my tonsils out and I ended up being there for, back then, I think 2 or 3 days or something. Now they'd ship you out in about 8 minutes. But back then I was in the hospital for 2 or 3 days and it was kind of upsetting, I think, to my parents, and they seemed very upset, and I was happy they were upset because they brought me a present. And what they brought me, I can remember it as clear as standing here. I just told somebody yesterday to look this up, and sure, what they bought me was it was called a Super Helmet 7. Now, get ready, because you're gonna be coveting this, I know. This was the present that I got in kindergarten, and it had this, like, that thing on the top's a flashlight, y'all. Okay, like right attached to the helmet. And with those glasses on, I mean, I was killing it. So much so that when it came time to go back to kindergarten, I wouldn't take it off. Now, nowadays, the poor little kid that's wearing a helmet is getting some medical treatment. God bless him. I think I might have been the guy that got all that started, though, because I wore this helmet to school, and I wouldn't take it off. So when it came time, and I guess nowadays, I mean, kindergarten's so serious, right? You're in school. Back then, they were just like glad if you showed up. And so the teacher let me wear it around school, and it was time for a show and tell. So, man, I was as bold as could be. It was just like I was so bold, and I just was so proud. And I walked up the front, and I took this helmet off, and maybe this is my first sermon, maybe. And I told everyone all about this thing and how proud I was of it. And Jesus said, unless you become like a little child. And do you know that childlike innocence and eagerness is what God's inviting in prayer? You know, he has some things he wants to show you. God is looking for and longing for the prerequisites, the prayer prerequisites in you, that it would allow him to boastfully, joyfully, totally unburden his heart to you about things you haven't seen and about things you haven't heard. And I would be doing a lot better in this area if I had heard from God about some of the things that he's doing, but I don't hear from him because I don't respond to his incredible invitation and his insurance of an answer and his inspiration in offering this to me, this show and tell. I remember the hymn, Simply Trusting Every Day. Trusting through the stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And when I think about the scriptural promise where God says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, searching for those on whose behalf he can show himself strong, I just wish that he was seeing more of us calling out to him in prayer, saying, show yourself strong here, God. Do something awesome here. Turn this around right here, God, because that is the only hope. How badly we need God to show and tell us great and hidden things. That phrase, great and hidden. Hidden things. Some translations say mighty things. NIV says unsearchable things. The Hebrew is used of fortified cities that were inaccessible, unassailable. Listen to me right now. God knows a lot that you don't. And through prayer, he will share some of it with you. And we go on in darkness and dismay and discouragement about our family, about our city, about our state, about our country, about this election, and all of these things that cause turmoil in our hearts. But how much have we prayed, really prayed? This is an awesome promise. God is revealing illumination. God is revealing illumination. I will show you great and mighty things that you did not know. Well, it seems every week I put these five ways to pray in, and the time is gone. Here's what I've been working on in prayer this week. Thanking God. Less asking, more thanking. God, I've asked you about this. I know that I have the petitions. I've asked according to your will. I know that I have these things. I know that it's just a matter of time. Thank you, God, that you are working. Thank you, God, that you are moving. Thank you, God, that you have heard me. Thank you, God, that I can leave this with you and trust you and let go of it and just begin to thank the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, giving thanks to God at all times for all things in everything. Give thanks For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Last time, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and hidden things that you have not known. Now stand, please. This is foundational to our church. I'm calling us back to this again. We are a people of prayer. We don't worry, we pray. We don't fear, we pray. We don't pace, we don't wring our hands, we pray. We fold our hands and we kneel down before the God who invites us to come and promises to answer. Now, wherever you've been on this matter of prayer, if you're one of God's children through faith in Jesus, and you could become one right now. Just turn from your sin and embrace Christ by faith for your forgiveness. All right? Wherever you've been in this matter of prayer, we're going for a breakthrough. There's 20 days left. Have you ever prayed loudly? Have you ever prayed persistently? Have you ever prayed first confessionally, removing the barriers? Do these things. Kneel down out loud, hands folded, with a list. Do it every day this week. And you're going to see a breakthrough. This is foundational to our church. Hands up if this is your church. We are a praying people. Let's call to him and he will answer us and show us great and hidden things that we have not been known. Get to that place and stand there. I will not be moved. Say it.
So I hope that you've been really encouraged today through this clear teaching from God's Word. I just want to thank you from the whole team for listening to the James McDonald Podcast, where the learning is for loving God and for loving others more and more until we see Him face to face. Thank you for standing with us. Your prayerful support is our lifeline to continue this gospel partnership, and it makes podcasts like these possible. If you're not part of a vibrant, life-giving gospel church, check out this new alternative. It's called the Home Church Network. You can get it at homechurchnetwork.global. All the ministry information, Bible teaching, and resources are there, and also at jamesmcdonaldministries.org. Hey, thank you again for listening.